welcome to the IIS Show with Brett Hill. Today on the show, Aaron Sconard, Keith Brown, and Fritz Onion, all from Pluralsight.com, talk about IIS 7. Take it away, Brett.
So, I'd like to welcome everyone to the IIS 7 show. And today we have a rock star cast of digerati with us from Pluralsight.com, speakers and book authors that you know and heard about. Aaron Sconard, who has written Essential XML Quick Reference, as well as the Service Station column on MSDN Magazine. Fritz Onion, who's written Essential ASP.NET. Keith Brown, author of the .NET Developer's Guide to Windows Security and Programming Windows Security, all those on Addison Wesley, as well as authors and trainers and speakers for the Pluralsight training on .NET and various other topics, which I would recommend to people if you're interested. Very good stuff. And I have invited them here today to talk about what their perspectives are, what their thoughts are about IIS 7. Have you guys looked at IIS 7 at all?
Yeah, I've been running it for a bit now, and playing out with some of their stuff.
And who's speaking there?
This is Fritz. Sorry, Fritz, I'm in.
No, that's okay. Just let so we since we have several people, we kind of have to keep it straight. So, Fritz, what do you think?
I've been very impressed. The first thing that strikes you when you start running it is the new user interface. It's I think it's much more intuitive, easy sort of to see very quickly where you know what's set up on your machine and all the various settings.
Yeah, there's a lot that went into, you know, redesigning all of that, because with IIS 5 and IIS 6, it was sort of like the IIS 4 user interface on a new engine, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, what about the developer aspects of it? Have you been playing around with some of or have you looked at some of the new capabilities there?
Yeah, a bit. I'm looking forward to digging further into it, but my initial impression is the unification of the ASP.NET pipeline or the IIS pipeline is probably going to have the biggest impact for developers. You know, just the ability to lowering the bar for people to actually write an interception module, for example, that applies across the board to both ASP.NET and IIS is huge. And from what I've seen, you know, building modules that drop into the pipeline, all you have to do is implement the ASP.NET IHTTP module interface, and it's there just like any other ISAPI filter is. So.
Right, of course. So that way you don't have to use ISAPI, so you don't have the constraints of that.
Right.
Yeah, if I could chime in, actually, from a security perspective, I see that being really huge, because one of the things you have problems with, at least I have problems with explaining people today, with the current scenario, is, for example, if you want to configure forms authentication, you actually need to configure authentication in two places. You need to go into your ASP.NET web.config file and turn on forms off, but then you also need to go into IIS config in the metabase and turn off authentication there, because you don't want two forms of authentication happening. And by bringing those things together in a single pipeline, you also get a single config.
Right, that's Keith talking there, and he's, of course, for the listeners, this security guy here. Yeah, absolutely, because that's been one of the issues with IIS 6 and 5 configuration with .NET, is that we have essentially two different security models going on there with forms auth and, you know, IIS / Windows auth, and they may or may not actually integrate depending on the they are on the same box, and so they can be integrated, but it's not in the same, you know, framework. And so now they're all in the same framework, and that's...
Yeah, one common example that I've seen, this is Keith again, one common example I've seen people having problems with is not realizing that when they use URL authorization in web.config, that they're not actually authorizing unmanaged resources.
So right, like they want to access a copyrighted JPEG or something.
Right. So by default, JPEG request for a JPEG file doesn't come all the way back into the ASP.NET pipeline. It gets served up as a static file directly by IIS.
Right, so
there's
two
places you have to worry about authorization.
So the integration has some fairly substantial security benefits as well. And also, of course, because you can implement role managers now and have your authentication principles be something other than, you know, your local SAM or Windows AD. You can implement that in SQL or whatever kind of provider you want to put on the box.
Which is important going forward with claims-based authorization.
Yep. Another security improvement that most people haven't heard about is the anonymous user, the iUser account, is now a built-in account on Vista and Longhorn whenever you've installed IIS. So if people have been doing ACLs for the anonymous user in TFS permissions, when you copy those files to another server, all those permissions will be valid. So that's a little detail that doesn't quite get very much highlighting.
Yeah, that'll be useful.
So, Keith, have you looked into the web services framework and how that might interact with IIS-7?
Well, one of the things that I really liked, and Aaron could probably chime in about this, is the whole notion of WAS.
Right, yeah, right.
That's the thing that I'm really excited about. This is Aaron here. And just the fact that now in the future of with WCF coming to the table and being able to host web services over different transports and your own custom applications, the ability to activate and have a managed host that sits around those services is really compelling. And so the way they've taken those pieces out of IIS and factored them into, you know, WAS, Windows Activation Services, really provides a nice framework for easily setting those things up. I'm really interested to see how that's going to all come to the table in terms of the tools and the user developer experience. But, you know, basically what that gives you is you can, like building a ASP.NET app today, configure an Indigo service, WCF service, to activate over TCP and have all the same process management, recycling, health monitoring features that we have today with web apps.
That's, yeah, exactly, and that sounds great. And I'm really looking to see what kinds of things developers are going to do with this. I'm very curious as to, you know, what kind of applications are going to be best hosted in this kind of an environment, and you know, as opposed to like running them in the natively. You know, you get of course all the application monitoring that you get with IIS in the application pool.
Yeah, the way I see that is it really kind of gives you, you know, before we had the ComPlus management system and then you had kind of the web management system. They were two different beasts. And you kind of used the ComPlus model for hosting to do more of the more tightly coupled RPC-oriented applications where you needed a little more performance. And you needed some of those features from the host like object pooling and security and so on. And then on the website, it was completely different. So one of the exciting things for me is that now both of those models are now coming together, and you can kind of have a consistent hosting experience, but you can tune it to the actual requirements of your application. So if you do need, you know, if you don't need HTTP and you want maybe to use a binary protocol and a different, maybe a more performant, reliable transport like TCP directly, you can do all that without having to go to a completely different hosting environment. The configuration story will be the same, the programming model will be the same, and you're actually going to be building on the tenets of SO.
Now, this is a really great example of the factoring that you see going on in this platform. I mean, we've seen in .NET 2.0, we saw system.transactions come into play, so you don't have to use ComPlus if you want to get easy-to-use distributed transaction support. Now we see the WAS. You don't have to choose between hosting models. You just have a consistent hosting model. So a lot of this factoring that's happening is really exciting.
Right. Okay. And what do you mean when you say factoring?
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the different hosting models, we had several, right? There was the NT services. There was, you know, ComPlus. You could host in ComPlus. You could host in IIS. And they all had very similar configurations, but you know, a little bit different features, right? And now by factoring that out, you can just, you know, you just have one activation service, and you know, there's less questions about, you know, why, you know, it's almost like a best of breed sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take the best features of all of those things and pull them together.
Yeah, when you really look at WAS, you know, before IIS did a lot of different things for the underlying communication channel to deal with HTTP and you know, that low-level message processing. Then above that, you had the activation and process management features. And what Keith was describing with factoring is those pieces up above didn't really have anything to do with HTTP.
Right.
Yep.
And you could really use those with any transport. So they just basically hoisted those out of IIS-7 back into the OS, so that now you can have all those same features there with these different transports and these different WCF scenarios, which are really compelling. And so now IIS can focus a lot more on what it's really good at.
Just managing the processes and
exactly.
delivering the, yeah. I see, that's, yeah, I see. Anything else you guys want to discuss before we wrap up here?
This is Fritz again. Just getting back to the configuration improvements and unification, rather.
Sure.
We talked about how it's going to be much easier to take .NET configuration files and make them apply to IIS. But the other interesting flip side of that is that you can take IIS settings now and put them into .NET configuration files, so they're not .NET necessarily anymore. And I find that when I present this to people that are seeing it for the first time, very compelling, because you can actually take your website configuration settings, which might include things like the default document for the virtual directory that you're creating, or various security settings, or the script map entries, all that. And all that is now inside of your web.config file, and you can put that in a per virtual directory basis and not have to go through the metabase specifically to set all that. So I think it's going to be huge.
Right. So being able to put the website configuration elements in web.config so that you can customize a website apart from a centralized store like a metabase or application host config in the same in the instance of IS7.
Exactly.
Yeah, and from a security perspective, we are able to say the administrator of the server of the IS7 server can say we want to be able to delegate these features to the administrator or the website operator, I call them for lack of a better phrase. In this case, it could be a developer who's developing one or more applications. And that's another thing about Vista on IS7 that people don't know yet is that on Windows 2000, Windows 2003, IS5 and 6. I guess 6 is only on the 64-bit edition of XP, but IS5, you're limited to basically one website. But with the Vista IS7 version, you'll be able to have more than one website per client system. So that's a big deal. That'll be nice for developers to be able to develop multiple applications in isolated spots as opposed to having to shoehorn them into a single location.
Definitely.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you taking time. I know you're in the middle of a training, and I appreciate you taking your time to chat about IS7. Keep up the great work. You guys are great. Your stuff is fantastic. I love reading your books, and have a great day. Okay.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks. Now, bye.
Take care.
All right, that was the IIS show with Brett Hill, and Brett's guests today again were Aaron Sconard, Keith Brown, and Fritz Onion, all from Pluralsight.com.